character defects.
Bro, I don't have any of those.
No, my name is Jason Rigby, and I have zero character defects.
I am an image of perfection.
It's like, what's that old, it used to be like a stupid thing when we were in high school. It's like guys masturbating. I mean, this, we're getting kind of filthy here, but it was like, you know, you're a liar if you don't, you know, in high school, because are doing
of course,
it
two,
three, five times a day.
The other thing
and that's shocking, ladies. But a teenage boy.
Those are low numbers.
Those are rookie numbers. Yeah, rookie. I remember that.
Bump those numbers up.
But it's that silly to say that you don't have character flaws.
Yes, yes.
Especially if you're an addict.
The other funny thing is there are two types of people in the world. The people that tell you they pee in the shower and liars.
That would have been a better one than masturbating, I think, yeah. But still biological.
Same idea applies. Yeah. Two types of perspectives here. The people that are willing to own the parts of themselves that are ugly, mm-hmm. their character defects, and the people that say, you know what's wrong with me is you.
Yeah, it's the deflection.
It's not me. I couldn't possibly be wrong or the one that needs to change. You're the issue.
Do you think, because I want you to open this up, kind of like we worked through a process. And this process is kind of revealing.
Mm.
Can you go into detail a little bit about that as far as if somebody has listened to our beginning podcast, where we do it in order.
Yes, absolutely.
For the most part, unless we do a Q&A or we do an offshoot. But we have literature that we do in order. And in that, we're at a phase now that's different mm-hmm. than what we've been talking about. We're setting people up. Can you talk about that?
Sure. There's just a development that has been taking place with this spiritual podcast that we have. We highly suggest going, checking out the early episodes. It's in order for a reason. You know, the best analogy that we have is, am I built on sand or am I built on bedrock?
Mm-hmm.
And throughout this evolution, throughout this process, if I don't have firm bedrock underneath me and life gets wonky or a storm comes, there's a high probability that I'm going to fall. And what that means for my recovery is if I don't have something firm to believe in, a high aim or a goal that I'm trying to strive for, when life gets crazy, it's really easy for me to return to the bottle.
Yes.
It's easy for me to fall down back to my normal conditioned behavior of, well, I'm just going to check out. I'm just going to numb out. So it's essential to have laid the groundwork necessary to start doing this introspection. These are some of the deeper evolving processes in recovery. This is deeper work. And some of that fundamental work is, you know, honesty. Getting honest that I actually have a problem, allowing that to seep into the innermost parts of me, knowing it. An inner knowing is different than just saying something. The other foundational work that is essential that we believe in strongly with this spiritual podcast is I need to believe that there's something bigger than me that can help.
Yes, 100%.
Have some type of idea, some type of awareness that this isn't all on Dwayne.
100%.
I need to tap into something bigger than Dwayne because Dwayne left his own devices, drinks every time.
Mm-hmm.
I return to my addiction every time. It's just what I know how to do. So I have to become willing to get in touch with something bigger than myself. God works fine for me. This is not a particular religious podcast. Whatever you can do business with as a higher power is the higher power that works for you. And we just suggest that everyone continue to seek something bigger than themselves that can help solve their problem.
It's funny because you mentioned the bottle, which was, you know, mainly your addiction. And then for me, the food addiction.
Absolutely, yeah.
And one of the things that I became recently self-aware of, and this is like finding the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like I know my foundation's on sand. One of the things that I became self-aware of here recently, just a couple of weeks ago, is my parents would argue because we were poor and they always argued over money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a trigger. But how they made up was dad would take us to a fast, because we didn't, like a big deal is Denny's.
Sure.
You know, a big deal was KFC. normally it would be McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell. So this process of me being little and listening to them yelling at each other, because they'd have pretty big fights, you know, not physical, just yelling a lot. And then, okay, kids, let's all hop in the car. Everything's fixed. So I'm scared, afraid. And then the way that things get fixed is fast food.
That's very interesting, Jay. So you learned to cope with these big emotional upheavals.
Yes. So like you return to the bottle and there's probably the same scenarios with you, maybe because you were comfortable around drinking at a young age and your family drank, right?
Oh, I learned, my family taught me how to drink.
Yeah, exactly. And like for me, when I began to understand that, it's like, oh, this is just an old imprint. This is the sand foundation.
Yeah.
Like there's no bedrock here.
That's fantastic.
Because the bedrock is the spiritual aspect, that eternal being, you know, that soul. Where for me, the physical materialistic side was, I need comfort. Somebody yelled at me at work, a boss yelled at me or something. So boom, right to the drive-thru.
Yeah. I know where I can receive that comfort. It's worked every time.
Yeah. And the same thing you said. Yeah.
Yes, that's the addiction. That's so powerful. That's beautiful that you shared that with us, Jay. That's the introspection work necessary to remove the sand.
Yes.
How does Nazi Germany happen? One blind eye at a time.
Yes. 100%.
How do I participate in my addiction? With a blind eye. It's like, I'm not willing to look at it. I'm not willing to look at it. I'm not willing to look at it. So it just perpetuates. However, when that shifts, when my should becomes a must, you know what? I should get sober. You know what? I should pay closer attention to my finances. You know what? I should honor my relationships. When my shoulds change and they turn into musts, I must get sober. I must honor my relationships. I must pay attention and be right-sized with my finances.
So today we're going to talk about, correct me if I'm wrong, today we're going to talk about when a person says must.
This is about no longer turning a blind eye to the shadow part of me.
Mm.
And absolutely, when I'm willing to go through that uncomfortable phase or that uncomfortable development, my shoulds turn into musts.
What do you think in the process of allowing the universe to work? Like, what does that process look like? Because this, our literature talks about this, you know, allowing, and you could say the universe, God, whatever. Oh, absolutely. You know,
yeah.
Whatever you worship, yeah.
Jump into the deep end right away.
But I think the word allowing is really important because that humility, and we've talked about humility, we did a whole episode on that, so I'm not wanting to get into that, but what I'm talking about is allowing, understanding and knowing that these character flaws I have, I can't fix this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's again, this knowledge, this truth about I can't fix this, I'm not big enough to fix this, that comes from the foundational groundwork we've already laid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're asking to begin to open here. In a couple, it's been multiple episodes prior to this, we discussed
surrender.
We also discussed my resentments.
Mm.
We discussed my fear. Mm-hmm. We discussed my dishonesty, especially surrounding my sexual conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all down on paper. Like I have that inventory black and white. Boom, there it is right in front of me. So that's done first.
Right.
And now that black and white list in front of me, that is the character defects.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. It's the list that you've made.
Yes.
Of all the shortcomings.
That's your life. There it is. It's already done. Mm-hmm. So I've already done it. So any well-known recovery program with a spiritual advisor will be introduced to this process.
You can go to
this
any,
is why you go to confession in Catholic Mass or any spiritual approach is going to have.
So today is the bridge between the internal reflection and the external change.
Yes.
And that sounds scary. I would imagine as an addict listening to that, you know, if you'd have talked in my 20s, if you would have had that conversation with me, like, yeah, the internal reflection's hard enough, but now I got to fucking, it's easy to talk about it. It's hard, but it gets easier to talk about it, especially if the more I begin to accept it. But now I have to have this external change.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you develop a willingness to change?
What we're really discussing here is the willingness. And that's key that you hit on that, Jay. I would like to return to the question you just posed before, which was, how do I let the universe, how do I start tapping into God or the universe, mm-hmm. or a power bigger than myself to deal with this problem I can't deal with? First, I have to admit, I can't do this. I can't do this. I have to get really honest in my introspection, mm-hmm. and get really clear on, this is where I fucked up. This is where I fucked up. This is where I continually mess up. This is where I continually mess up. How come I'm making the same mistake over and over and over again? I'm behaving selfishly over and over and over again. I'm judging this person over and over and over again. If I was big enough to remove the judgment, if I was big enough to remove my selfishness, I would have done it already.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have to get really clear on the fact that I can't do this alone.
It's the higher. It's, you know, and like I said, I don't want to get caught up on universe or God or we've talked about this a bunch of times. You know, like for me, I believe in like a higher power, which is my future self.
Yes.
You know, my past, all my past, present, future life. Like and I believe that's all of us are like fractals of this, like with oneness. And I don't want to get into that too heavy, but I want people to understand, if a tree is important to you and that tree means everything to you in life and it's something that you can communicate and talk with, mm-hmm. then go, and I'm making an analogy, but go to the tree and have this conversation and be wisdom in this tree.
Yes.
I can't handle this. Like you said, confession's perfect. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what priests do. They're not there to judge at all. They've heard worse than you. Mm-hmm. <You're> not, you know how many times they've heard, Father, forgive me for I'm an addict? They'd be like, oh, let me count. Oh, I don't have enough fingers and toes.
Thousands.
Yeah, thousands. So is that what you're talking about, is the admission of the powerlessness?
Yes, I have to get clear on the fact that
this is good.
Whatever I've been doing is not working. Otherwise, it's not worth having this conversation. It's not worth going through recovery process. I have to get really clear on the fact that I'm here to change.
Yes.
I'm here to evolve. If things were nice and peachy for Dwayne in his life, I wouldn't have fucking needed recovery.
Yeah.
So I'm here with the understanding that I'm laying the groundwork to create something new.
Well, it's also like the powerlessness part, because I'm so caught up in my ego. I'm not about my higher self at all. I have no connection to you've mentioned this multiple times, is the garden hose, the stones in the garden hose. Mm-hmm. Or I see it like it's frozen. Yeah. It's still water, but it's in a different form. It's kind of the same thing, you know. And like if you're a Christian, this is a perfect analogy with Christians, is how does the Holy Spirit work through you? It's through acceptance. It's through surrender. It's through knowing that that is a spiritual power that is eternal. Mm-hmm. And all-knowing, omnipotent, omniscient, all of that things, and all those theology words. And that alone is what is going to save me, not my ego.
Very good.
Because you know, I want people to understand, because I think people can use it in a form of guilt, like, I'm just a worthless alcoholic. I can't do anything. You're tapping into the best version of yourself. Absolutely. You know, you're the same Dwayne as an addict as you are now as a multimillionaire. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same Dwayne. You just tapped into your higher self.
You have
a spiritual evolution. Yes,
absolutely.
And growing. You're not still that same piece of shit.
No.
You know, I mean, there's a shadow part of you, but that's just you. There's, in esoteric teachings, there's, in alchemy, it talks about this too. We've talked about this. There's the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. And the moon is the shadow part and the sun. And both of them, as above, so below, they're all equally important. So mastering, being able to understand and say, in my ego, I can't fucking handle this.
Good.
I need you, God, or whatever, Holy Spirit, whatever name you want. And in that submission, it's like the old school ways, and I'll shut up after this. It's like the old school ways of initiations. Like church used to be like a big deal to be a member of a church. And we've lost all of that. We don't have like in Western esoteric teachings, they would have you like, they would put on a whole, or if you're Mason or whatever, you know, they'd have mm-hmm. these serious rituals and people would get dressed up and they would do all these things to initiate somebody. Or, you know, the Native Americans, when they would initiate you coming as a teenager, you know, or the absolutely. Spartans with oh, the boys, yeah. you know, send 8 or 9 years. And this initiation is that recognition that I am powerless and that I have to call upon that wisdom, that nature, you know, with the Spartans, it was that natural wisdom. They called upon the gods because they knew that they could not handle this. In being a 9-year-old boy, I cannot survive this natural, being naked and 9 years old out in the woods, I cannot survive this unless I call. And that belief in Zeus or whoever it was, mm-hmm. you're fixing to see all that.
Oh yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
Next month he's going to Rome, but that belief in that and being able to call upon that higher power gives you the extra 5 reps.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
To push through what you thought was not possible.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to send you in the woods. I understand you're a boy, but I'm going to ask you to kill the lion. It's like, that's, I'm not capable of doing that. I can't do that. How do you, this is very interesting. You hit like 7 major points there, James.
I went a little rant.
No, it's beautiful. One of
the Arnold Schwarzenegger pictures fucking me up.
One of the ideas surrounding willingness to change is like, Excuse me. Not willingness to change. You talked about the importance of ritual and initiation,
which
we have lost.
Yeah, we've lost.
Which we have lost in the new world, especially. But for recovery, people on a recovery journey, this is the initiation. I've laid the groundwork, and guess what? I'm doing what everyone else is doing.
You're thrown out into the woods.
I'm fucking part of the mm-hmm. team now. I'm not doing the necessary work. People who are on a spiritual journey, people who are interested in spiritual development, consciousness development, interested in having a consciousness practice, a present moment practice, I'm doing the work now. Mm. I'm writing shit down. I'm taking actual account of my behavior, an actual account of my thoughts. Mm. It's like, okay, your behavior has improved. You're not participating in alcohol anymore, but how's your thinking?
Yes.
Am I still insane? High probability. I'm still going nuts in my head, especially if I'm not using my coping mechanism anymore. So what this is about is building the relationship, laying the foundational relationship for the thing that can solve all my problems, including my thinking. Okay, this is real quick. The analogy is I am recovered from my alcoholism. I was an alcoholic. I participated in that as often as I could, as much as I could, in active addiction. Early sobriety, I sober up. My skin's crawling. I don't know how to navigate the world yet without alcohol. I go to the grocery store. I'm having fucking panic attacks trying to do my shopping because I know where the alcohol is.
Yes.
So the advice that was given to me, the spiritual practice that I put into action was pray.
Mm.
Ask something bigger than yourself for help. I literally looked down, would navigate the grocery store with the tiles because I was so afraid of glancing in the direction of the alcohol. And I would pray, God, relieve me of this obsession.
But you put yourself in the situation.
I was there. I had to practice. I had to do the work.
Yeah, you were in the woods.
We say the action is up to me. The result is up to God.
And you prayed as you were going to defeat the lion.
I'm in the woods. I'm battling the dragon. I'm mm-hmm. battling the lion. God, relieve me of this obsession. God, relieve me of this obsession. God, relieve me of this. I do not know how many times I had to go through the grocery store with that prayer. But around 6 months of that practice, I stopped having panic attacks in the grocery store. I didn't even notice the bottles. Mm. I've said this before. That looked like mayonnaise. I had the same affinity for the bottle of vodka as I did for mayonnaise. I don't really care about mayonnaise. I'm pretty neutral about mayonnaise. It's fucking boring. It's like blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I was placed in a position of neutrality because I started tapping into something bigger than myself. Maybe the repetition was powerful enough to rewire my brain, but it was also powerful enough to rewire my conditioned thinking.
To allow God to come in and rewire.
My conditioned practice started being, God, I invite you in, instead of, Duane, you need to fucking fix this. Alcohol will work real quick. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Well, it's almost like, don't mean to cut you off. It's almost like the spiritual aspect of what we're looking at and, you know, believing in a God and seeing something that's eternal, that's outside of us. And then being an alcoholic, having that materialistic view of all it is flesh, skin, and what I can see in this just the world, this nihilistic view. It's almost when you put all your chips into that nihilistic view, when you put all your chips into that, there's no hope.
Very good. Yeah, that's the nihilism.
Yeah. There's no hope.
So that was the groundwork, right?
Right.
That worked. I tapped into something bigger than myself. It worked for the biggest problem in my life. Mm-hmm. What we're discussing now, getting deeper into our recovery evolution, is every other problem. It's no longer about not pouring alcohol down my throat. Now it's about my crazy mind. My mind is like, fuck that motherfucker. He's looking at me wrong. That's a judgment. This guy doesn't know who I am. I will spend countless hours preparing to fight him in my mind. Although the body is intelligent, it cannot tell the difference between a thought and reality. So I start having a physical reaction to my crazy thinking. My heart rate increases, my sweat glands open up, I'm in the sympathetic nervous system. I'm prepared to fight. This guy doesn't even know who I am. There's no reason for us to have an altercation. But in my mind, I'm judging him and I'm preparing to fight. That's just one example.
And this thought, the thoughts and the words are so powerful. Like Genesis 1, it says that, you know, the word or the logos is what created.
Yes. That
it's the thought. It's the words.
You can create.
You're creating your reality.
Thinking and speaking. That's the thing that masters chaos. Now, that's just one example. That's just my fear and judgment. I was a thief. I loved walking in the grocery store and stealing hair gel. You know how big hair gel is? The size of a can of dip.
Yeah.
Easy, into pocket. Same exact idea. I need help with being dishonest. I need help with not stealing. God, I invite you into my... into my theft. God, I invite you into my theft. God, relieve me of this obsession. God, relieve me of this obsession. God, I need your help. God, I need your help. Sometimes the best prayer is, God, fucking help.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's as good as I can do. If it worked with my drinking, why wouldn't it work every other area?
Yeah, because the hair gel is just a trigger. It's like you conditioned yourself to be like, I'm in a grocery store, time to steal hair gel.
The stealing.
And then the feeling you get
from it. Yes, exactly right. The feeling is the high.
Right.
It's like I got a little buzz because I could get in trouble from this.
Yeah, the buzz of getting in trouble.
Yes, some that's people what are I'm addicted to that. That's what I'm addicted to. Right. And I recreated that pattern in work life for years. Yeah.
For me, it was like women, you know, like, I'm oh my God, this one's going to find out I'm talking to this one. And what if I go, I'm at the restaurant? What if somebody sees me?
Very powerful.
All of that. Yeah.
Now, we have to acknowledge that first. This is a deep introspection. I'm addicted to getting in trouble. The emotional, the energetic response that takes place when I'm in fear.
Addicted to getting in trouble.
Powerful.
Think about that.
Yeah. I would create situations where I was going to get in trouble. And unconscious. I was unconscious of my behavior. I needed it. I needed the fear. I needed to get into trouble. How insane is that? That's what an addict does. So, in my ego, you said in the ego, I'm making decisions, and those decisions are unconscious.
100%,
but now, on a spiritual journey, I don't get to use that excuse anymore. I'm no longer unconscious.
Yeah, my little Jason, which is my ego, that's what I call him, he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
he wants everything for free. He wants to take advantage of everybody.
Yep.
He wants to do anything that makes him feel better than what he really is.
Yeah.
Like, oh, a compliment from a beautiful woman. You know, that's, oh my God, amazing. You know, I'm such a badass. You know, that's all the ego. Or you could eat these 12 tacos at Taco Bell. Like, you could slam through a grande 12 pack, you know. Oh, didn't that feel so good? Like, it would be the same with the bottle or whatever. But my ego, and I'm wondering with addicts with this, if it's kind of like the same DNA imprint or something. We just have asshole egos.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe more than others. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's an ego statement saying my ego is worse than your ego.
No, yeah, it is. Not all egos are the same. And not all, we you know, the joke is, oh, I don't suffer from bipolarism. I just suffer from bi-assholism. But if you take a fuck it all pill, it doesn't really matter.
But it's so funny because it's different. The ego in a serial killer has no emotion. I'm a very emotional person. So I can be an asshole. Like, you'd think like a serial killer asshole, no emotion, just can slice your throat, be done. You know, that's an extreme. Then this asshole, Jason, he's still super emotional, mm-hmm. getting butthurt all the time, wanting to cry. You know, like there's a ton of emotion attached with that. Do you feel like part of this, especially when you're looking at this process of growth, like you had talked about spiritual evolution, do you feel making this commitment to release, and I like what our literature says, release the grip of old habits and character defects, that releasing of the grip, that's saying adios, little Jason. You know, like, you don't control me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be reactive to, because I for me, the worst part of my addiction is the emotional response I get. That's what triggers the addiction. Like, fuck them, fuck that, you know, fuck him yelling at me, I'm gonna run to the drive-thru, or she hurt my feelings, you know, she said this and I thought she loved me, drive-thru, you know. So it's all emotional based for me, which is all ego, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. It's 1,000% accurate. It's the emotional response that I'm addicted to more than the action of
the comfort action, yeah,
of whatever it is, the taco, the cocaine, the sex. I told you I would get more high on the way to the drug dealer than I would from doing the actual drugs. And that was just the energetic response, the chemical reaction in my brain. So after a time further down the rabbit hole, that's about the energetic response.
So when you look at these real, you know, because we had everybody write them down. When you look at these real defects that I have, how fucked up my ego is, and I've got to release it, I've converted them from my thoughts of kind of that are kind of fucked up to these are real, these are tangible, these are elements of where I'm fucking my family over, I'm fucking every relationship I've been in over. This is my identity. Like, this is Jason. He's a fucking addict and an asshole. So I've admitted that, which has been really hard. Now this is like releasing the grip of that fucker.
Very good.
This seems like really tough.
It's so we call this the meat and potatoes. This is like often glossed over in recovery programs, but it's really the stuff I got to do every fucking day.
The affirmations.
Like, you're willing? Oh, yes. You're willing to change? Fucking prove it. You want to build your body and create something powerful and beautiful? How willing are you? Are you showing up in the gym?
Yeah.
Are you doing your exercises? Are you paying attention to your nutrition? How's your recovery? How's your water? How's your sleep? Are you willing? Prove it. Same idea with my spiritual development. Mm-hmm. This is the shit that needs to take place every single day.
I love this.
Every single day, I have to be willing to grow, willing to improve. The baseline of my willingness is I want to be better than the man I am when I walked in the door. Because the man that walked in the door is fucking dying. That man will not survive. I need to evolve. I need to grow. Otherwise, there's no chance for my recovery. So that willingness, that doesn't go away. You might have peaks and valleys, and you might have a plateau. But
this is not a destination.
No, this is a journey.
Yes,
and that willingness 100% continues. And if I'm tapping into something bigger than myself, tap into yourself on about the journey. It's like, God, I pray, God keep me hungry. God keep me willing to change. God keep me willing to grow. God make me teachable. If I'm not teachable, I'm not willing to do this work. I'm not willing to do the introspection and evolve. Let's get to the grip.
Yeah.
You start, this is on point. It's like, I'm asking myself, I'm asking my ego to let go of things. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to let go of it. But after I let go of it, my fucking claw marks are in there. It's like, right. How long have you been holding on to that behavior? I've been selfish years, my whole fucking life. Mm-hmm. I've been dishonest my whole life.
Yes.
I have been jealous my whole life.
It's like fearful.
I've been fearful. That's number one. That's number one for me.
That's number one for me too, yeah.
I've been fearful my whole life. Now I'm asking you to start letting go of that. This does not happen overnight. That's why it's a daily practice. That's why it's like a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. No one is going to be rendered white as snow with this process. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be a human and you're still going to fuck it up. But at least I have a high aim. Mm. I'm willing to head in the direction of someone who doesn't make decisions based on fear. I'm willing to be the type of man that's not jealous of his surroundings, of the people that it's around him. You know what? I have pushed relationships away because of fear and jealousy. And all the woman wanted was to be close to me. Mm. But my jealousy wouldn't allow that to happen. Literally ended relationships because of fear and jealousy. And there's a process that needs to take place in order to release that. Mm. I can't let go overnight.
Right.
A, I have to see it. B, I have to understand it's not serving me.
Yes.
C, I have to be willing to do fucking something about it. It's not going to go away by itself. Have to take action. What's the action that I'm taking? Am I writing things down? Am I praying? Am I turning towards the light or am I turning towards the darkness? Every time I turn towards the darkness, there's not a lot of hope for my change.
For me, the biggest change, and I think this will be really practical for a lot of people, it's helped me, is recognizing the old reaction.
Very good.
And being quick to recognize that. Mm. You know, and like we've talked about affirmations, like, you know, that's not real. But being able to recognize it and be like, when it's at a 2 instead of a 10.
Yes.
Like, oh shit, you know, why am I craving Krispy Kreme? I just drove by there and I'm really thinking about turning in there. Mm-hmm. You know, why am I thinking that? Am I like concerned about finances? That's a big one, you know. I could be totally fine, have financial freedom, doing well, and I get worried mm-hmm. for no reason because before I pull into Krispy Kreme, I'm checking my bank account, the app, and I'm going to go spend $6-$8, but I'm looking. So then it's like, oh, these are the certain old reactions to little Jason. When you get really good at recognizing those, and we talked about this last podcast, that's where the alchemy hits.
Yes.
That transmutation. Because then it's like, oh, okay, this is just a reaction and the coping mechanism will happen. That's the bottle for you, yes. The food for me. But if you can nip it in the bud when it's a 2,
so powerful.
You're winning.
So powerful. Like,
you're winning.
Absolutely. I let's stay on this for a little bit. Often, I'll judge people.
Yeah, every day.
Often.
Often.
Go to Walmart. And I see someone.
Go to family.
Go to Walmart and I see someone on one of those scooter shopping carts. Mm-hmm. Waste of space, motherfucker. This guy shouldn't even deserve to breathe. Mm-hmm. That's how, I mean, I go dark real quick. That might be my first thought. But if my second thought is, God help me not judge, I'm doing pretty good.
Yes.
I'm doing pretty fucking good. I caught it. I didn't have to go down the emotional rabbit hole with, now I'm going to destroy this guy. I didn't have to become the thought. Abraham Hicks has that wonderful analogy in regards to momentum. And the streets in San Francisco. And it's like, okay, you put a car at the top of the hill in San Francisco. And that car is your negative thought that says, screw this guy. I'm going to judge him. Push that car down the hill. When do you want to stop it? Do you want to stop the vehicle 3 inches after it started rolling? Or do you want to try and stop that emotional momentum at the bottom of the hill? One way is going to be super painful. One way is harder to let go. Mm-hmm. The other way is allowing God to change me. Repetition, repetition, repetition. God help me not judge. God help me not judge. God help me not judge. the spirit of the universe is powerful enough to create worlds.
Yeah, and I started out real simple, like, this is a negative thought.
Yes, that's a recognition.
Just recognize.
But that's a recognition.
And then from there, you can play around with different things. You have tools, your tool belt, you know. But for me, it was like, this is a negative thought.
Yes.
Just identifying, I mean, go tell how many times people think negative. How many times do addicts think negative?
On average, every human being has 60,000 thoughts a day. For addicts, it's probably more. It's probably like 70 because we're high functioning.
Right.
And then on average, 98 to 99% of those thoughts are negative and repetitive. So it's the same thought I had yesterday, mm-hmm. and it does not serve me. What's 2% of 60,000?
What does repetition do at the gym? If every day I did repetition at the gym, what's going to happen?
You increase your strength.
So what negative thoughts, what's happening?
You increase your stamina. You increase your endurance. You increase your longevity. That's the same for my shitty thinking.
Yeah, I have a lot of stamina with my shitty thinking.
I could spend years doing that. Yeah. I have done it. So we're interested in rewiring the brain, and that also means that I need to tap into something big enough to help me do that.
Yes, yes.
So we're asking God for help. We're asking Spirit of the Universe for help. We're asking consciousness for help. You nailed it, man. Out of observation comes transformation. Just spotting it, just observing.
Because this is easy.
That I have a bad thought.
To me, it was easy for me, and I'm kind of just a big meathead, dumb Marine, you know. It was easy for me to be like, that's a negative thought.
Yes, just spot it. Spot like, the thought.
That was a negative thought.
Yeah.
And it takes the emotion away when you do that.
Yeah.
It's like the Wizard of Oz, the wizard in the curtain. Mm-hmm. Once you see who it is, it's like if you watched a magic trick. All the coolness goes away when you learn how it's done. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like some tricks are really simple. You know, it's just getting your eye to go here or there, you know, a snap of the finger to make you focus real quick right here with this little sleight of hand here. And you're like, really? Mm-hmm. That's all it was? But it looks so amazing.
I'm telling you, man, that's it. That's the meat and potatoes. That's the daily work. How often am I willing to say, there's a negative thought. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a wild thought. That's it. That is what we're discussing right here, right now, is being willing to take responsibility for what's going on in my head. If I can take responsibility for what's going on in here, that's spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. That's consciousness development. That's heading in the right direction. I also want to be responsible for living well. Mm-hmm. It's like, how much attention am I going to give my negative thoughts? I'm not going to live well.
No.
If I give that all my attention. So that you nailed it, bro.
Yeah, I love that.
Just spot it.
And I want to close in this because we're going to do a two-part series on this. But I want to close in this for sake of time. I encourage everybody, we have the website pretty much done. So it's recoveredaddictpodcast.com. Pretty simple. Awesome. Tried to get Recovered Addict, but that was already taken, you know. But it's recoveredaddictpodcast.com. So I encourage everybody to go there. Please, please, please. The number one thing you can do is share this with a friend or family member. If you know somebody, maybe you have a friend that's an addict. Most addicts have friends that are addicts, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We all know. Share the podcast. You don't realize how that can help someone, you know. And we have a lot of listeners all around the world, like literally. Which majority of our listeners, which I tell you, this is funny. It's United States number one and then Ireland number two.
Yeah.
So I love it. Yeah. But it's like you guys share it. Let us know. We're going to have a way to contact us on the website.
Cool.
And then an email address and stuff. So if you guys have questions and stuff like that, I know there's a ton of comments. We're going to have to do another because we're getting so many now. We're going to have to get another. I mean, if you've gone to our Instagram and look at our comments and stuff,
Q&A.
Like Q&A, you know, because that was really fun.
It was awesome.
And we'll get that out and do another one of those here real soon. But Dwayne, I think this is doable for people.
You're not here by accident.
Yeah.
You did not arrive at this podcast by accident. You did not arrive in this stage of your development by accident. You're seeking growth. You're seeking evolution.
Yes,
you're
seeking
change. You're seeking something greater than what you're used to. This is not in your life by accident.
Right, right.
The willingness to change, the willingness to evolve, the willingness to grow spiritually. That's what we're discussing right now. It's a daily practice. It's the meat and potatoes. This is the highlight of my day, bro. I love talking about this shit. It lights a fire under my ass because I'm not wandering around aimlessly.
Yeah.
Like I have some direction. I know the direction I'm heading in. I want to be the type of individual that offers you my love, not my judgment.
I love that. And, that's so good.
And that stems from honest analysis of bad behavior, willingness to change, and then the discipline to take the action to do so. We'll be right back.